teenagers don't need to be, you know, hard and difficult and moody, and toddlers don't have to be, you know, the terrible twos and the three-nagers. These are just phrases and stages that we create because we haven't yet learned the skills to meet the needs that our kids are begging for us to meet.
Hi, I'm Brooke Raybould. I'm a high-achieving mama with a Georgetown MBA who said no to the corporate world and yes to herself. Trained by two of the top business schools in the country, I fell in love with entrepreneurship and embarked on the biggest startup of my life, my family. Drowning in diapers and laundry, I bootstrapped my way to building a six-figure online business where I was paid to be myself. And now, I'm on a mission to help women ditch the mom memes and build the life they were created for. Whether you're a stay-at-home mom looking to optimize your routines and carve out a little something for yourself, or the savvy woman wanting to do it all, I will break down the systems and strategies that help busy moms get big results. Step on into my stay-at-home office and welcome to the At-Home Startup Podcast. If you are a parent, if you are a mom, and you've ever felt mom guilt, or maybe feel like you have it somewhat together with your kids, and then you're trying to get them to listen, they're not listening, and you just snap. I'm pretty sure we've all been there before. Parenting is certainly not for the faint of heart. I wish looking back that I would have been maybe a little bit more proactive about the resources, tools, and people that I surrounded myself with to be able to get the tools that I needed to better manage my family, especially now with four kids. I find that sometimes you need someone else who's an expert in that arena to step in and say, why don't you do it this way? Today's guest is Tia Slidham. She is a parenting coach, and I am so excited to have her on because I selfishly have some questions myself about things that we are going to discuss on today's episode. As you probably know, I am a mom to four young boys, and one of the things I struggle with is getting that like quality connection time with them. And Tia is going to break down what that means and why that is important and how to do it. And it's not maybe in the way that you might think it will be, but it totally solved all of my problems when she talked about it on today's episode. She is going to talk about, again, mom guilt and how to address it. Sometimes I think we feel mom guilt and we feel stuck, and then we try to fix it and the cycle repeats. Tia is going to get to the root of that and give some proactive solutions to help better that and rid yourself of that mom or dad guilt. She's going to talk about family meetings and how holding these family meetings will create a sense of peace and structure in your home and how to include your kids on those. She also talks about sibling rivalry and how to manage those situations in a constructive way. This episode is life-changing, and I am so excited to welcome Tia Slidham to the At-Home Startup Podcast. Tia, thank you so much for coming on the At-Home Startup Podcast. I am just so excited to have you here. Selfishly, like I always choose guests that I'm like, man, I want to learn something from her. Like I want her to, you know, take an inventory of what I'm doing as a mom and give me feedback for how, you know, I'm the person that I'm like, I want to do better. Like I want to do a good job for myself. I want to do a good job for my kids. And I know that my listeners are the same way, especially when it comes to the topic of parenting. And you are an expert. So can you just give my listener a little bit of background on how you stepped into this role as parenting coach?
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I'm super excited to be here. We have so much to talk about. My journey really kind of fell into my lap. I didn't grow up saying, I'm going to be a parenting coach one day, but I did grow up saying, I want to be a mom. And if I could have any, even my 11-year-old was saying on the way to school, what was your dream, mommy, when you were a little girl? And I said, you know what? My biggest dream was to be able to stay home with my kids and be a mom. Like, I really wanted that. I was always passionate about kids, taking the babysitting course the second I could do it, doing all the things that I could do, pushing my Cabbage Patch doll into the movie theaters. Like, I was really into wanting to be a mom. And I ended up becoming a kindergarten teacher, and I have my master's in early childhood education, and I taught kindergarten for a number of years before having kids of my own. And then I just became fascinated by every milestone and looking around and saying, why are my kids sleeping so easily? Why does my 2-year-old not tantrum? Why can I take my kids to restaurants and they're sitting? What's happening? What am I doing that other people don't know yet? Because I knew it wasn't me being a magical unicorn. It was, like everything in life, a skill set. And so I ended up taking my, you know, education and my foundations from being a teacher. I became certified in positive discipline, and I created my program and my teachings to really help parents learn the skills to create battle-free days with their kids where you really feel like you are crushing parenthood in a really positive way.
I just want to eat all of that up because it's so good. I feel like in those, and I was the same way. Like, I always, like, my biggest dream was to be a mom. I wanted a family, like, so bad. And then, you know, I think for women, this is a conversation for probably another episode, is, you know, it's hard to kind of find your place, you know, even though you want that. So it sounds like your role as a kindergarten teacher, being around kids as much as you did, do you think that that played a part with how you handled your own children?
Huge, huge. Like, it's like my husband always says, like, that's your story. Your story is that you were in a kindergarten classroom with 35-year-olds with no aid, no teacher assistance, no parent volunteers, 90% non-English speaking, low-income families who had, the kids had never been to school before. The first day of school, one of my students was drinking the watercolor water. And I was like, no, we don't drink that. That's just for dipping. I mean, you think about that. You have 30 kids who you not only need them to, like, listen and cooperate, but you need them to learn. And a lot of weight is on your shoulder. And as a, you know, my first year, I remember looking down at all those students thinking, like, okay, I got a big job here. I've got to make sure that I can get a handle on this class so that I can help them be the best that they can be. And so much of what I took from my classroom was management. Management in a positive way, where you nurture, where they feel safe, where you have boundaries, where you can actually set them up for success. And year after year, my students surpassed state standards. Year after year, my classroom was, quote unquote, the good kids. Even though they were randomly selected and September was hell, but once you got through September, you were loving every single day. I loved my students. I couldn't wait to go to school each day. And I feel that same way with my own kids. So taking the idea that boundaries, foundations, and really starting off by learning those skills is what sets us all up for success.
So I guess, what do people come to you with as, like, the biggest challenge as a parent?
Yeah. The biggest things, hands down, over and over and over, and we've helped hundreds of parents. My kids never listen to me. The only time they listen is when I yell, and then I feel like shit after I do that. What I like parents to think about is, one, parenting's not intuitive. You're not born figuring it out. So as you go through Brooke, more and more kids, you're getting more comfortable. You're building your confidence. You're gaining more skills. You're figuring out what worked and didn't work. So over time, through trial and error, you are creating more skills. So it's you know, common that's what happens when we have more kids. We seem to get, quote unquote, better at it. But we want to look at parenting as the fact that it's not intuitive. And so for everybody who's listening, if they're like, I yell every day, I feel terrible, I'm the worst mom, every night I say I'm going to do better, and every morning I start off yelling again, don't expect anything to change unless we do something to make a change. So we can't just say, I'm a bad mom, I'm a bad person, and tomorrow I'll be better, if we don't know what to work on to be better. And so I want parents to say, like, take away the blame, take away the fault. We just haven't learned the skills yet. And the really cool thing is everybody's capable of learning those skills. And so it's important to, one, know that you have the power to learn those skills. And most importantly, we can't just read one book and do one tip from a video and one quick thing we heard on YouTube and say, this magic thing is going to fix all of my parenting challenges. Because easier parenting, positive parenting is a giant puzzle and it's all intertwined. And if you think about it, you want your kids to listen to you, but every time you yell, you teach your kids not to listen. So if you just work on listening, but you're still yelling, your kids are never going to listen to you. And if you work on yelling, I want to stop yelling, but your kids don't listen to you, you're not going to be able to stop yelling because you're so frustrated. So we have to work on all the pieces at once. And when you do that, everything really starts to flow.
So what would be a concrete first step to getting to better handle that with the getting your kids to listen and then getting you, and it sounds like it ties together.
Yeah. There's so many things we can do, and every little thing helps with every little thing. But for some concrete things that you can really start thinking about and implementing, one, I recommend to all of my clients that they do golden time with their kids every single day. And it's a simple way to build a connection with your kids. And the idea is that paradigms from our childhood and from our generations are, if my child does something wrong, I need them to learn a lesson, and they need to learn that lesson and they need to feel bad about it so that they don't do it again. And what happens is we get caught in this punishment cycle. And when we get caught in this punishment cycle, we actually create a disconnect with our kids and minimize our relationship and our bond. But your kid's biggest goal is to bond with you and connect with you and please you. So they start to act out more, frantically trying to build that bond again. So what I want parents to know is that our kids are going to do better when they feel better. And so in order to help our kids feel better, to listen more, to cooperate more, we need to connect with them. And as a busy working mom, I know it's hard to find time for each of your kids, but it's 10 minutes a day. And do something that you love with your kids and really connect with them and listen to them. And you know what? I have a free guide for parents that they can access on the link that you share at the end, just that breaks it down for them so they can follow it and really start connecting with their kids so we can start helping our kids feel better to do better.
And so you call this golden time.
Golden time.
Can you give an example of how that would look? Is this the 10 minutes of uninterrupted? What are your tips and strategies for that specifically?
Yeah. So one of the biggest tips and strategies is accountability. So the idea is that we need to be consistent with everything parenting in order to create changes. We have to be consistent. And so a lot of times parents will try one thing for one day or 2 days and it works. And then one day, if something doesn't work, they're like, oh, that's it. I'm done. That doesn't work. Try something else. That creates more inconsistency. So one of the things I help my clients with is using an accountability calendar to hold you accountable, but also to showcase to your kids all of the special time that they're getting with you. So you can simply create like a Monday to Sunday, morning and night, AM, PM little chart that you can, you know, say mommy's doing golden time in the morning, you know, whether you have mom and mom or dad and dad or mom and dad, you're going to put both the parents in that accountability calendar so that one, you are consistent with it and they know that they're going to get that time. I want parents to know that if you're consistent with this, you see changes right away. If you do it once, your kids might love it the first time, but you're going to fall off the wagon. And so what I want you to think about is carve out, when are you going to have 10 minutes that you can spend with your kids? And if it's only 5 minutes, do it. Anything is better than nothing. But using that accountability calendar to say, hey, before school, I can get in these two. My third stays home a little bit longer. I can get in his or hers then. And bedtime is your second golden time. So just label it. Tell your kids, it's time for your special time. It's time for your golden time. It's time for whatever you want to call it. Let's go read your books and do your stories and sing your songs. You're tucking your kids in anyway. You're still doing that job. But now when you give it that special name and your kids are aware of what golden time is, they start to say, oh, this is all about me. Oh, I better get ready quickly because I want my time. But really nothing changed.
This is so great. We've been doing, especially with four kids, and Ryan and I, you know, I'll just put this out there. We love our children so much. We've even been thinking about having a fifth, and like, we're such family people. One of the challenges for me is that time. And I told him last night in bed, I was just like, what breaks my heart is like, if I don't get that, it like makes me teary eyed. I'm like, if the day goes by and like my oldest, I haven't like connected with him. I'm like, that is just like a non-starter. And I've been going through this in my head. I'm like, how do I, and we've called it like mommy time or like a mommy day. And so we've been trial and erroring with it. I'm like, okay, so I'll do a mommy day with Rhett, which was like we went to coffee and he got a little croissant and we went to lunch and then we went to a movie. But then in my head, then Vance wanted to go. So then I did the same thing the next day. And I was like, okay, this was a little expensive and like so much fun, you know? But in my head, I was telling Ryan, I was like, we just have to get more consistent with understanding like how we carve out that time. And I had heard the 7 minute rather than a 10, but I do like the 10. It's a round number. You can, you know, remember it better. I have some questions. So I know people probably have some questions too. So Ryan and I are both very involved parents. It's such a blessing, such a blessing. But when they get the daddy time, then I'm like, well, I didn't get like my time. So you said that both parents can connect at once with a kid, or what do you suggest? Because like, I know that, and I've also done some reading on kids, like you said, the whole point of this is so that your kids respond to you and that it makes things better. And someone had said that like, if one parent is almost on that duty of golden time, they're almost seen as that close point of contact type thing. So it's almost like both parents need to get that, but then how do you structure that? Is that too specific of a question?
No, it's great. It's perfect. And I'm sure listeners have the same question. Like, how do I fit this in? How do we get each parent to do it? What does this look like? So what we just want to remember is that nothing's going to be a perfect science. And some families are going to have one parent that does golden time most of the time. I know when my kids were growing up, my husband worked 6 days a week. He would leave at 7. He would come home at 8. My kids only saw him for an hour in the morning. It would be 7 in the morning and they'd say, bye, daddy, see you in the morning. And I was like, oh my gosh, that is so heartbreaking. They're not going to see you till tomorrow morning. And it's only the morning right now. But what we want to remember is that it's quality over quantity. And so even though going to the movie all day is great to do sometimes, golden time doesn't always need to be a big extravagant thing. It could be a quality 10-minute moment that really gains so much ground. Like it's amazing how that really adds up. And so what I want, that accountability calendar allows you and Ryan to really say, okay, well, we're both home equally. So let's rotate. I'm going to do bedtime for my older one, then the middle one, and we're going to flip and we're going to, you know, have an accountability calendar for each child with their names on it so that they can see like, this is when I get mommy's doing bedtime on Tuesday. Daddy's doing my bedtime on Wednesday. You know, and this way you guys can kind of plan that out and organize it. It also shows you like I am spending a lot of time. We're doing things my kids love to do. I'm spending one-on-one time. That helps you with some of that mom guilt that a lot of us sometimes feel because we're not doing enough. When really it's not about the quantity of what you're doing. It's how you're doing it and the time, the way your time is spent when you're together. It's either 10 minutes of amazing golden time or yelling and screaming. So what's going to help us feel better?
No, I think this is like the golden piece of parenting advice because when you get that time, I think it's a connection thing. And that's where the mom guilt, I think, creeps up for me personally is not like me doing anything, like you said, extravagant. It's if I've connected with each of my kids that day, like it was a good day. And you're right, it minimizes then the yelling, the mom guilt. You know, you feel close to your kids. I think any parent just wants to feel connected. One more follow-up question. I'm sure people in the audience, including myself, have a range of ages or they have young kids, or maybe there's a working, you know, a dual working household type thing. Well, that's kind of a separate question, but say I'm like, I have a young one. So I need to almost be with both of them. I know I'm better at that now, but I had that challenge initially where I was like with both of them all the time. Do you have any tips for that?
Yeah. So what we want to do is we want to introduce it with the kids so they get really excited about it. So that way they know when my sibling is having their golden time, it's okay because I know I'm going to get mine and I'm so excited for it that I'm willing to, you know, be independent during this time. So some things you want to do when you have younger kids, toddlers and then infants, and, you know, working around nap schedules can be really handy. It might not be the same time every single day, but if you can say, like, in this window, my baby's going to be napping so I can spend time with my toddler, or my two older kids go to school and I know I'm going to have my younger one at home, so I'm going to do theirs then. So even sneaking in early in the morning, I know sometimes my kids are 14 and 11 now. We don't have to have, quote unquote, a set schedule and accountability calendar. I don't have to do those things anymore. Pretty soon you won't either. You'll just get in a rhythm and a flow and it'll happen. But sometimes if I notice somebody seems like there's a lot on their mind or they're having a heavy moment, I can set my alarm and get up 10 minutes early and sneak in their room and just say, do you want to snuggle for a little bit? And let's like chat. And then they're like, that was so nice, mommy. Are you going to do that for Beckett too? I'm like, don't worry, Beckett's going to have time. But it's like those little things that you can just do to build that connection. So don't think about it as it has to be a perfect science. Don't think about it that, you know, if one day you get in a little bit more with another one and a little bit less with the other, it will all even out. But try and work around your schedule to make it convenient. So during naps, when some are at school, if your older kids can silent read a little bit on their own at night, then do the younger kids' golden time first. And I never like to use TV and iPads as a babysitter, but sometimes you got to do what you've got to do. And the connection is so important. So sometimes I will recommend to families, put a show on. You rotate kids out for 15 minutes each or 10 minutes each and spend a little bit of time and give them that opportunity to know that they watch a show and then they come with you. There are ways to make it work. It just takes a little finagling in the beginning when you get used to it. And when you start, it's great to sit down with the kids and tell them, like, we're busy. We know you're busy. We want to spend more time with you doing things that you love to do. Let's make a list of all the things that you guys love. Let's make a list so every child gets to have their name on an activity list. And you write down the things they love to do. Just so you know, it doesn't have to be playing dolls and coloring. It might be that your kids love to make smoothies with you. Mine used to love to use the blender. Mine used to love to pretend shave with my husband. So they would get their fake shaving cream and they would, you know, use their fake razors and they would shave. It doesn't have to be added work. You can be driving in the car with one child and say, we're on our own going to practice. Let's have a golden time chat. What should we talk about? And they're like, ding, 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 ding. I'm getting more time. This is all about me, even though you were driving them to practice anyway.
So you just say be flexible with it, because I am like picturing my kids being like, well, Red got this golden time and Vance got this one. It sounds like we need to lay down the ground rules. Like, what would be that? What would that ground rule conversation look like if a listener's like, great, like, I want to introduce the golden time to my family. What does that initial conversation look like with the family?
Yeah, that's where I would say you sit down and you talk about how you want to spend more time and you want to think about all the things that they really enjoy doing and create those lists for each of your kids and put those in a place that's really accessible for your kids to access and you, so that you can say, hey, it's golden time. Let's go choose something from your list. Instead of, I don't know, what should we do? I don't know, mommy, there's so many things. Instead, you can take them and you say, hey, should we do this or this? Or do you see something else on your list that you want to do? Give yourself a little easy segue into golden time. And when they have that activity list, you can let them know, hey, you can add things to it as we go. You can cross things off. If you change your mind, you don't like those things anymore. You're giving your kids lots of power, filling up those power buckets, helping them feel more in control when you give them a lot of choice and you bring them in the process. So really involve them in creating those lists. Go over the accountability calendar with you and your partner and show them that these are the times you're getting it, so that they're not going to say, well, my brother got it and my other brother got it, but I didn't. They're going to know, hey, both of us, we're all getting it twice a day. All of us are getting it twice a day. We're getting bedtime and we're getting a daytime one. And so it creates a sense of equality just by setting up using those specific tools.
Got it. Okay. And then last question is, it can be like one parent, if there's two parent household, could be more of like the dominant golden time person is what you said, just to clarify that.
Yeah. Like if you can do a perfect science back and forth and it's a perfect rotation, great. And if you can't, it might be like mom, 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 dad, mom, mom, dad, 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 dad. It doesn't matter. My husband used to say we get extra golden time on the weekend and he would take one to the park. Well, he was probably going to do that anyway, but now they're thinking they're getting this amazing golden time. And so you can make up for it if one parent isn't around or somebody works shift work and they're gone at night. So then maybe you work out that after school you have a little golden time. So don't think that it has to be hard and fast in a perfect way. And if your best friend or your sister or your brother does it a different way, doesn't matter. Just do what works for you.
Now, moving on to another topic, which I personally love and I talk about often, which we just started implementing, are the family meetings. This is different than like those, the accountability calendar.
Yes. So this is a different tool that we used all the time when my kids were little, and I saved all of our family meetings because it's so cute because they will start to write on it. And I use a template that really is just like a way for us to bring it to the table and make it a little bit official. And so what I recommend is that you either just have a template or a piece of paper, whatever you'd like, and have like your ground rules for the meeting. So in our house, it was that we always started with a compliment or something you were grateful for. So if somebody didn't want to give a compliment, they could say that I'm, you know, grateful for dinner, or I'm grateful for mommy. Sometimes they would say, you know, oh, mommy, your hair looks beautiful. Oh, well, thank you so much. And it's really great because they learn to accept compliments, to give compliments, to be grateful. And you start to just do that. And what we don't realize as society is so many of us, somebody says, oh, Tia, you were really great when you spoke the other night. Oh, thanks. But you know what? I really wish I would have talked about this or that. And we automatically, naturally, as a society, often reject a compliment with something we think we didn't do quite well enough. And we can all practice, even as adults, accepting compliments and being grateful. And so I always used to start the meeting that way. And then we would have like five different lines, not too many. We don't want to get overboard and with every challenge that happens during the week, but we would hang that on the fridge. And during the week, if there was an issue that my kids were having, mommy, he did this, or she touched me, or this or that, then I recommend that, you know what, we don't have time to chat about it right now. Why don't you add it to the family meeting? And we'll come up with a solution all together. So he's coming in my room all the time. He takes my iPad, whatever it is, add it to the meeting. The older kids will start to write it out. You know, kids who are emergent readers, they'll be stretching out their words and it's so sweet. And for really younger ones, you might write it for them. Great, you need me to add it to the meeting? Great, let me go add it. So I always taped a pencil on a piece of yarn on the fridge and they could just grab it right there and write. And then when you come to the table, you do your compliment, you do your gratitude, and then you have your list of things you want to talk about. Sometimes it's overflowing, sometimes it's one or two issues. And then you give your kids a chance to be heard. Every child wants to be seen, heard, and understood. So Hudson, my older one, would say, you know, read it off. And he'd say, Beckett's coming in my room. Well, how do you feel about that? Like, what's the issue with it? Let's talk about it. And then together we all come up with solutions. So what should be our ground rules? Should it be that somebody has to knock? What happens if your door is open? And then we come up with a plan. So we're helping our kids use conflict resolution. We're helping our kids feel seen, heard, and understood. They know they can come to us when they have a problem, that we're there to support them. So when they're teenagers and they have, you know, they're starting to date and they're starting to be parties, that they know I can come to mom and dad because it's comfortable to come and they help me problem solve. And so now we're not, you know, shutting our kids down saying, I don't want to hear about your issue, stop tattling. We're saying, I hear you. That's not fun. Let's put it on the agenda and we'll talk about it when we have our family meeting. And sometimes you can put things on there. Like I'm upset when I see shoes not lined up by the door. Like, we got to solve this. What can we do? And then they help you come up with solutions and everybody as a team feels like they're working together. So it again builds a bonding connection. It's a really powerful tool. And then at the end of our family meetings, I always had family events. So we would choose something to do on the weekend. So I have two kids. So somebody would choose Saturday, somebody would choose Sunday. If you have lots of kids, you might do a little morning activity, or you might rotate weeks where somebody gets to choose something that you might go do. Maybe it's to the park, maybe it's to get ice cream, something that they're interested in. And then they know that we get to look forward to that next weekend as a family to have more bond and connection time.
Oh my gosh. I love this. The way that you kind of break down parenting methodology kind of reminds me of how, in like the best way possible, how, you know, schools or like a teacher might like conduct, you know, their school year and planning. And I think as parents, we get away from that because we're just kind of thrown into it. And the thing that makes me sad is when, you know, and me included, is when parents get overwhelmed or the guilt starts to go up and it's like, wait. There are concrete solutions. There are things that we can do to resolve those things so that we can have a more, you know, positive and constructive existence with our kids. And I just love hearing about your methodology because, yeah, I'm just such a huge proponent of creating solutions. You know, I think in motherhood culture, parenting culture, there's, and I partook in this too, there's so much memes and humor flying around that can start to circulate and become, you know, this almost weird coping mechanism for parents and mothers especially. But then we aren't addressing, it's like, oh, I can relate to the, you know, you lose your cool with your kid and you lose it meme. It's funny to a certain level, but if you really think about it, it's not constructive. And there is a solution. I just don't like when women kind of stop it. Well, this is how it is. And it's like your solutions are so effective. And it's like, that's not how it has to be.
Yeah. No, it's not. Having kids does not mean life is miserable, that every day is filled with tantrums and meltdowns, that you have to feel like you're losing your mind. It's not how it has to be. It's just that we see in society, like you're saying, we make excuses for it and then we brush it off. And instead, I always say, nothing's a problem till it's a problem. So if parents come to me and they're happy co-sleeping, if they're happy doing the things they want to do, I'm not here to say that my way is the only way. I'm here to say, if you feel like something's a problem, if you're feeling, you know, outraged, you're frustrated, you feel guilty, you want to make changes, you totally can. I want parents to think about it as we want to be a responsive parent, not a reactive parent. And in order to do that, we need to be proactive. So with anything in life, you're going to go on a vacation. You're going to have a really crazy reactive vacation if you don't know where you're going and you show up at the airport and you don't even have tickets and nothing's planned and you don't, it's going to be insane. Like, can you imagine going on vacation with your kids with, you don't even know where you're going, you just show up at the airport? No, that's how parents live their lives. Like they're going on vacation without it planned. And instead, we need to plan. You need to turn your GPS on and you need to say, like, what do I want this to look like? How am I going to get there? What skills do I need so I can teach my kids those skills? And then great, let's dust our hands off and move on to the next thing.
Yes, I think motherhood is such a gift in that way. If you let it be a gift, it's like, how can I come to the table and be better? If someone approached you and said, if you implement this system every morning, I will guarantee that you will have an amazing day, would you do it? I'm sure in your head, you're probably thinking, well, it depends. But what if it was something that was doable? What if it was something that was manageable and it would ensure an entirely different outcome for the state of your life? A positive outcome, a controlled outcome, a relaxed outcome, an empowered outcome. So as many of you know, I struggled with postpartum depression after my second son was born. And to be honest, my life as a mom, as a person, felt like it was spiraling out of control. I ended up in the emergency room and I questioned whether or not I would get out or not. And at that moment, I promised myself that if I did, I would do things differently. And what came as a result of that promise to myself is a morning routine that I call Control Variables. Control Variables is a 5-step program that includes tasks that you need to complete in a condensed period of time. I have created an outline, a PDF download that goes through the entire system and how to implement it in your life that promises, if not guarantees, a better outcome for your day. James Clear, author of Atomic Habits, says, "You do not rise to the level of your goals. You fall to the level of your systems. Your goal is your desired outcome. Your system is the collection of daily habits that will get you there." My Control Variables download is the system and the daily habits that have gotten me to the state in which I'm living today. And I'm so proud of the state of my life. So I encourage you to check it out. The download is $25. I have a $5 discount when you use the code CVDiscount. So check in the show notes tap the link and you will get the control variables PDF download straight to your email. I love this. Okay. What are some of the other, because I know you have Wheel of Choice, you have Homework Without Tears, Sibling Rivalry, you have lots of good stuff on here. Well, I wrote one down, which we kind of already talked about, but I know is such a big one that I think I've gotten better at over the years, but that's mom guilt. And I know we kind of touched upon it. Do you have any more?
Yeah, I did a live on this last week that mom guilt, I want people to think about it as mom guilt is created, not required. Just because you're a mom does not mean you're required to be guilty. You are not required to be guilty. It's created. And it's created because most likely we're not feeling that we're doing our best. We're not feeling that we're showing up. We're not feeling that, you know, we're responding in the way we want to respond, and we're not feeling good about it. So we need to kind of stand up and make some changes. And the way that I want parents to think about their kids' behaviors to help kind of with that guilt is to remember that when we see a behavior, any behavior, positive or negative, there is a goal in mind for your kids. There is a root cause, a purpose, a goal that they are trying to achieve. And it's not to annoy you. It's not to frustrate you. It's because they're trying to tell you, hey, my needs are met or not met, and I need help. And I don't know any other way besides to do this. And I get a negative response from you. And so in order to shift our kids' behaviors, we need to shift our parenting. And so as soon as you start shifting and realizing that your kids are not out to get you, they're not out to make your life hell, that things get a lot easier. And so one of the things to really focus on is the fact that whether it's homework, screen time battles, mealtime issues, sleep challenges, kids fighting, hitting, aggressive behavior, all of those things are the same thing. Even though I know they look so different and they feel so different and it's happening at different times of the day, all of those things are just the symptoms to the problem. So think about when you have a headache and your head starts to hurt, the symptom is the pain, and you think, ugh, this is annoying. I'm going to take an Advil or a Tylenol. I'm going to use that Band-Aid. I'm going to get rid of that headache. But you're not really getting rid of the headache. You're getting rid of the symptom. You don't know why the headache happened. Was it because you ate something you're sensitive to? Are you overtired? Are you overhungry? Like, why did you have a headache? What's the root issue? And so when we look at all the problems we face during the day, actually the symptoms, they're not the problems. The problems came before the symptoms. So what happened before all those things were happening? And that is that our parenting needs a little bit of fine tuning. We need to figure out why the behaviors are happening, what's causing them, where they're coming from, what needs have I missed? Is my child overtired? Are they overhungry? Am I not filling up those buckets for attention and power? Are my kids looking for negative attention because I react? And most importantly, do I have concrete, clear, consistent boundaries? I say this all the time to my clients. Are your boundaries 3C? They come to me with a question and I say, ask yourself, do you have 3C's boundaries in this area? Concrete, clear, and consistent. Because too often, and it's very common, sometimes we give in, sometimes we yell, sometimes we say, okay, sometimes we're like, sure, 5 more minutes is fine. Oh, who cares? We are not concrete, clear, and consistent. And because kids are born with 2 predetermined jobs, one to please you and one to push boundaries until boundaries are found, are gray at all, and you are not concrete, clear, and consistent, your kids are doing a fabulous job of trying to find that boundary, in which case most parents get frustrated and then they finally yell and our kids are like, oh, there's that boundary. I don't need to listen. I don't need to do what they tell me. I only need to know that the boundary is when they yell, so I better get my acting gear now. And so that's where we really want to start looking at the root of the issues and our parenting and where we can start making some of those changes so we can get rid of some of that mom guilt.
This is so helpful. When it comes to creating boundaries, and I know you talk about, I guess, discipline is maybe the after effect, because if you have the boundaries, then that can be a more proactive approach. I'm just thinking, like, how do you create like boundaries? Like, what would be a good example of that?
So tell me if this would be a helpful example. Kids who are begging for sweet snacks to go to school. They only want to take the gummies. They only want to take the fruit roll up. They only want this, the goldfish. And the parents.
Or my toddler grabbing the chair and pushing it over to the pantry and grabbing whatever he wants like he does. And sometimes I'm like, okay, that's fine. I need to just mellow out and let him do that. And then other times I'm like, no, get out of the pantry. Like, no more packaged snacks. The packaged snacks are for school only because they're expensive. But it's so hard sometimes to explain this to a three-year-old who's actually quite smart. And I'm like, he probably would understand. Okay, so this is making sense.
So how gray are we, right? We're gray. Sometimes the stool's okay. Sometimes because we're irritated and we're like, oh, I'm being a bad mom. My kid's eating too much junk. We're mad. Other times we're like, who cares? So we're gray. And when we're gray, how can we expect our kids know when to get the stool and when not to get the stool? Like, how do they know? Of course they're going to test it. They're doing their job. So we want to look at, how can we create age-appropriate boundaries in a concrete, clear, consistent way that makes sense for you, but also makes sense for them? So mm-hmm. I always say to parents, we're parenting with mutual respect. We are treating our kids the same way we want to be treated. And I want parents to think, like, if you are parenting in a way that you wouldn't want the world to see on Netflix, if you couldn't be showcased on Netflix, then you're probably handling it in a way that's causing you to feel guilty. You could have a TV camera in there all the time, then you are parenting in a way that you feel good about. And that's important. So what we want to think about is what makes sense for you. So for an example, I would say, hey, we have, you know, these snacks from the fridge. This shelf in the fridge is our snacks that you can have Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And Friday is Freedom Snack Day. Freedom Snack Day means when it's snack time, it doesn't mean you can have, like, my boundary wouldn't be have as many as you want. It might be you can choose two from the Freedom Snack drawer, or you can three or whatever you want. Maybe it's one, but maybe it's Freedom Fridays. And on Freedom Fridays, they get to choose from the fun drawer. And then the other days you have cut up vegetables or grapes or fruit or whatever. And maybe there's another drawer where you are okay with pretzels or other things that you want them to be able to have. So you can go over that. And that's where we need to, one, know what we want. So we can show our kids what we're expecting of them, because they want to please you and they want to stop pushing. So help them get there. But then we need to do a really important piece, which is what we call TTP, teach, train, and practice. You can't just say, from now on, guys, Freedom Fridays, choose your snacks here. From here, you go here. So that's it.
This is me to a T. I'm like, okay, we're doing this now, everyone. Go. And then I'm like, what were we doing? And then the next day comes and I'm like, what was the game plan? Why is this not working?
Yeah, it's like when I did my first kindergarten teaching in my mentorship, and we were doing Fruit Loop necklaces and sorting, and they had to do piles of 10 in colors. And my mentor teacher was in the back, and I was kind of nervous, and I was like, okay, so everybody needs to take the red and the orange and the green, and then you're going to put them in the circles. And then I looked, they all look like looking at me, and the mentor teacher was like, slow down.
This is me. Yes.
Okay. Let me go back and let me make this super clear. So step by step, we teach, train, and practice. So that means you might create a chart that says, you know, snacks from these areas, Monday to Thursday, Friday is your freedom day. You might have two freedom days. You might have four freedom days. I don't care. Again, you get to choose. And then you're going to go through and you're going to practice. So you're going to be like, okay, it's Monday morning. Let's pack our snacks. And then you're like, oh, should I go into this drawer? And they're going to be like, no, mommy, that's for Fridays. And you're like, oh, where can I go? And you can do some role modeling and you can go through it and you can let them know when they can get the stool and when they can't get the stool. So go through all of the steps and teach, train, and practice. And then the third part is where we can kind of use the consequences to help them follow through with your expectations. So either we follow these boundaries that we have these snacks Monday to Thursday and the snack Friday, or if you're sneaking snacks or you're complaining and you're whining and you're bugging me about the snacks, then unfortunately you're telling me you'd like to skip your Freedom Friday. You get to decide. You choose what works for you. We either, you know, do the plan and you have it, or you don't do the plan and then you miss it. But then again, we're putting it back on our kids, giving them a chance to be independent, responsible, to make good choices, and to also learn if they don't make a good choice that, hey, that really affected me. But mom and dad aren't mad. I didn't get yelled at because I snuck a snack. I just missed my chance. And now we're dealing with mutual respect.
I have a question on this. So because I have different ages, like with the older kids, I'm like, for us, they have an understanding of this. what Ryan and I run into, I like how I'm using this as my own personal like session. Our three-year-old, bless his heart, and now we know this as parents, is the challenge because of the age. And I remind Ryan, I'm like, it has nothing to do with this. You know, he's a beautiful child of God. But like, say our older kids, almost 8 and 6, they understand the real consequence. Could you like, the three-year-old though, he is the one that I'm like, it's harder for him to like grasp these things. So then, you know, we've got so many age ranges where if I, you know, I never think this way, but if I just had the older two, they would clearly understand these boundaries. But because I'm dealing with these different learning levels, does that make sense? Like a toddler isn't going to be as, you know, they do learn with boundaries, but because there's, you know, more grace for that age, that's what I struggle with in our house. Like if I did the snack thing, I'd be like, and then Bowden's like the first to break it every time. And I'm like, okay, you know, I don't want him to feel like he's the child. Does that make sense?
Yes, what would be does. Some... So we want to think about controlling the environment as much as we can to set our kids up for success. So for younger kids, you might have those fun snacks out of sight, out of mind, in a place where they don't know where they are. And then when Freedom Friday comes, the Tupperware comes out and everybody gets to choose one and then you put it away. And maybe they're not just in a free-for-all spot so that he's not tempted by that. So kind of think about how you could set it up where maybe everybody chooses them in the morning and he chooses his and saves it, or he chooses it and has it now. Again, giving him power, giving him choice. He might have it at 8 a.m. Oh, well, he chose to have it now and now it's done. So you can really kind of play with that, but think about controlling the environment with younger kids. That's really us setting the stage for success for them.
Love that. Okay. This makes tons of sense. I feel like I could ask you so many questions. Can we talk about, since I have 4 boys, and I know so many people deal with this. I had a sister growing up. It was just the two of us. But with 4 boys in the house, let me tell you, the sibling rivalry can be strong. What are some of your tips? I know you have 2 boys.
Yeah.
And so like that is, you know, we think as parents, well, that's like a natural, actually, I was listening to something Jordan Peterson said, and he said like, it's like not good, but like that sibling relationship is so, he said that this like scientific literature proves that like, this is good for kids. Like this is good. It prepares them for the world, these relationships with their siblings. But as parents, it's so hard to manage, right? Where we're like, just like get along with your brother, you know? So walk me through this.
Yeah. So we have to remember that sibling rivalry is going to happen because it's basically competition. And when you've got 2 brothers or siblings, we're going to have competition. He got more pop than I got. You gave him more this than that. Like he took my this. It's going to happen. But it's great practice for them. It's actually excellent practice to, you know, work your conflict resolution skills and understand how to solve problems and learn that you can solve big things without your parents. And that this is all, these are all positive, resilient things for our kids. So what we want to know is that oftentimes as parents, we create more competition and we create more rivalry by what we do. And so some of the things that we do are we get involved like we are a judge or a referee, and they start to think that, okay, if I go and I tattle or I'm crying or I have a red mark, then mom or dad are going to be mad at the other brother or sister. So I win and now I'm getting control. And so we want to think about when our kids are arguing that it's, again, their issue. It's their problem. It's not your problem. Not all of your kids' problems are your problems. And we want them to learn that because then they stop tattling and coming to you all the time. So one thing we want to like visualize is imagine that, you know, you're on trial for something and you're being, you know, accused of something you didn't do. And the judge listens to your, you know, one side of the story, which is the person against you. And they say what you've done. And you're like, I didn't do that. Like, this is crazy. And then the judge says, I'm getting a coffee. I'll be back. Then he goes to Starbucks. He comes back and then he's like, guilty. And you're gonna be like, what? You didn't even hear my side. Imagine your kid comes running in. He hit me. He took my, and you're like, what? That's it. And you go in there and you're like, what are you taking that from? You know better. You're the older one. What are you doing? And then we put this blame and we create the victim and an aggressor when We're an unfair judge. We do not have the right to do that. And so we are creating more competition, which is more rivalry. So think about how you can remember to be the facilitator, not the judge. So when your kids are tattling or having an argument, going in and just saying, I see that there's an issue. I used to always use the 60-second rule. Not my problem. I'm going to give you guys 60 seconds to solve it. Either you solve it or I can help you solve it. Well, they wanted to solve it because they didn't want to sit down and have the conversation and go over all the plans. They were like, no, save me, please. So they would solve it. And they would be literally like, sorry, sorry. And then that was it. And I didn't care. It doesn't need to be a meaningful this and a this or that, because if it was a really big issue, they would talk about it. But if it's something small, they move on. So the 60-second rule can be really, really helpful for parents to kind of let your kids know from now on, hey, you know what? When you guys are arguing, it's really not my problem. If I don't see it and I don't hear it, I can't be a judge. I can help you problem solve, but I can't solve it. So I might give you time to solve it, or if you need me, I can be there.
I feel like you're solving all of my life's problems in one podcast episode.
Conversation, because we haven't talked about tantrums and meltdowns, and we haven't talked about sleep, and we haven't talked about homework strategies. There's so many things we can talk about. But
so many things. And I know that you're busy. Is there anything like a last topic that you wanted to talk about? And I know that people, you know, listeners can get your course.
Yeah, I have a 12-week coaching program called the Parenting with Purpose Method. And it's a 12-week program where we really piece that whole puzzle together with you, alongside you. The value of our coaching program is that we actually coach you. So your specific challenge is about three-year-olds all the way up to, you know, whatever your oldest is. And the challenges that you face with managing that, we actually coach our clients hands-on. So we give everybody the foundations and tools that every parent needs, whether you have a two-year-old or an 18-year-old. But then we coach you and we guide you through your challenges and your questions and things that you really need to work on, so that you can shift your parenting, shift your child's behavior, and finally encourage cooperation without force. And that's really our goal, is to really create a positive family network where we're role modeling to our kids how we feel is going to be the best way for them to manage themselves out in this big world. And when they have kids someday, if they choose to have kids, they're going to mimic what they've learned today. So we have to ask ourselves, are we parenting in the way we want our kids to mimic parenting their kids, or do we need to make some changes? And if you want to make changes, we have small courses. We have our full course. I do lives every week. You can find me on Instagram. But definitely, if they go to connectwithtia.com, you're going to be able to find lots of resources there to kind of get you on your way.
It's so helpful to me. Even Ryan and I feel very confident in our ability to commit to our family and, you know, commit to our kids and be intentional. But sometimes you just don't know what to do. I remember when a friend of mine, she went with her husband and they did a call. And in my head, I was like, why are they doing this like call that, you know, I'm like, they're great parents. But now I'm like, oh my gosh, it's just a coach. You know, it's like, if you want to learn how to start working out, like what better way to go to somebody who's been successful in facilitating these things? And it's not like Ryan and I are unsuccessful, but I'd say that I think anyone, even the best parents, could use, you know, that bird's eye view of someone saying like, look, like this situation can actually be made a lot better. Like you could avoid this entire thing. You know, that mom guilt that you feel, like you don't have to feel that way. Like, what can we do? And I love your approach. It's like, let's take that. And here are the tools to be able to do that. And in a way that's tailored to your family. Like me, I come at you with like four kids. Now I'm like, I can have a fifth kid as long as Tia comes with us and we hire her every week and she helps us manage how we do this. And I do come at it from that like delusional optimist. I'm like, we can do this. Parents can do it.
If you really want that, you 1,000% can do anything anybody wants in life. You can have it. You can do it. The goal, and for I want to leave parents with, is that we don't have to wait for fires to happen and then frantically try and put those fires out. You can actually learn the skills to avoid unwanted behaviors. I mean, I'm sure there are parents with teenagers listening, and I have a just turned 14-year-old and 11.5-year-old, and they are dreams. My 14-year-old is the sweetest, most gentle soul. His art teacher called me last week out of the blue to tell me that he is just a gem. He is the most, and teenagers don't need to be, you know, hard and difficult and moody. And toddlers don't have to be, you know, the terrible twos and the three-nagers. These are just phrases and stages that we create because we haven't yet learned the skills to meet the needs that our kids are begging for us to meet.
Oh, I feel like that was a mic drop moment. So we will close with that. But Tia, thank you so much for coming on the At Home Startup Podcast. I know my listeners are like, please bring her back, bring her back. But for those listening, I will put all of Tia's information in the show notes and maybe we'll get some follow-up questions and we can do a follow-up episode.
Yeah, so absolutely. We could do a coaching episode one day where we just answer your questions about your, it would be so fun.
I would love that. Like I said, I bring people on where I'm like, I just want to talk to them. I want them to give me their like golden touch so that I am better equipped to be a better person. And I think people create these obstacles. They think it's like so hard, but it's just like the little tweak of like the snack drawer thing. It's like, or the family meetings or, you know,
everything just is not rocket science. And you're going to be like, ugh, why didn't I just think of that? Why didn't I think of that? And that's because it's not intuitive, but that's what I'm saying. You're capable of doing it. Once you learn the skills, once somebody shows you and walks you through, everybody is capable of doing all of the things.
I love it. Great. Well, thank you so much, Tia.
You're welcome.
I hope you enjoyed that episode as much as I enjoyed chatting with Tia. As Tia and I got off, I told her, I was like, I want to invite you into our family so that Ryan and I can sit down and create some constructive solutions. She is a wealth of information. She has, you know, the course, as she mentioned. I will put everything in the show notes. And what I want to echo, I think what Tia and I discussed is, you know, you get to decide which, like what kind of environment you want to create. And I think a lot of times as parents, we feel stuck. We feel like, well, this is the age that my child is in right now. So this is the way it has to be. I have a teen. So this is the way it has to be. And we forget that so much of the power between our kids and us lies in our hands, that we just with these subtle changes can create an entirely different relationship with our children. And I don't know about you, but what Tia said today on the episode, all the things she said got me so excited about not what I have done wrong in the past, but how I can constructively move forward with my kids in the future. And if you're listening to this, I know that you're a good parent. Like at the end of the day, I know I'm a good mom. However, I still know that there's room for me to implement certain systems, routines, approaches that can make my mom game even better. And that's what gets me excited. So certainly check out Tia's information in the show notes. Thank you for listening to today's episode. And more than anything, I hope you remember, especially as a mom, that sometimes you just have to switch out the playbook. Until next time on the At Home Startup Podcast.